This is KVNF's regional newscast for Friday, June 4th, 2021. I'm Gavin Dahl. The mammoth Russell Stover manufacturing facility in Montrose that closed last year will reopen as the Western Slope Food and Innovation Center. The Grand Junction Sentinel reports VCM Global Asset Management and Benezet Realty Partners purchased the facility and will work with area growers on using some of the building for quick freezing, dehydrating, and pulping produce. Not all produce makes it to market wholesale, and being able to innovate on ways to add value to so-called seconds will generate additional income for local producers. In Mesa County, School District 51's Summer Extension Program is back this year and has grown significantly. About 2,500 students are enrolled. Prior to the pandemic, the District 51 Summer School Program would see between 500 and 1,000 students. The Grand Junction Sentinel reports the program will run the month of June, every grade is offered, and nearly each school in the district will host students. Summer Extension offers students the opportunity to catch up. The district has seen in data collected that the abrupt shift to virtual learning caused significant declines in academic performance and mental health. The 27th annual Telluride Blues and Brews Festival, scheduled for September 17th through the 19th, has announced their lineup. Three headliners, Buddy Guy, Nathaniel Rateliff, and Lucas Nelson with Promise of the Real, will be joined by the Almond Betts Band, St. Paul and the Broken Bones, Samantha Fish, and Colorado's own Carrie Morin. The Telluride Daily Planet reports proof of vaccination will not be required at Town Park. Organizers have worked with officials to safely host the festival following public health guidelines, and the event will be at 100% capacity. Special events like the Grand Tasting, the 5K Run, Blues for Breakfast, and the Kid Area are not part of the festival this year. Vail Fire Chief Mark Novak is calling for more urgency on fire mitigation in the Vail Valley. In 2019, Vail Town Council approved an ordinance making changes to building codes detailing what kinds of materials can be used in new construction and renovations. The Vail Daily reports the fire chief asked council members this week to expand the rules to apply to reskinning buildings and require a 5-foot buffer around homes. He also asked for additional funding for his department to increase staffing and have funds available to hire contractors for other work. The council is also looking to incentivize homeowners to replace dangerous wood shake shingle roofs. Kate Redmond spoke with Colorado U.S. Senator Michael Bennett yesterday about new disaster mitigation legislation he's pushing to get included in President Biden's jobs and infrastructure plan.
Senator Michael Bennett introduced new legislation that will mitigate extreme weather events, including wildfire. This proactive package called the Shelter Act would create a first-of-its-kind disaster mitigation tax credit for working families and small business owners in disaster-prone areas. Americans can receive federal tax relief following a disaster to help recoup their losses, but there isn't an incentive to prepare for future threats. This bill would change that. I interviewed Senator Bennett on Thursday. You've introduced with Senator Cassidy the Shelter Act, which will help families plan and prepare for extreme weather event. Can you please tell our listeners what this entails?
You know, in Colorado, we've just come out of one of the worst wildfire seasons that we've ever had, and we're approaching another season that could be even more intense. And today we're spending money fighting fires rather than doing mitigation on the front end, which is both cheaper and more effective. So the Shelter Act would encourage taxpayers to make critical investments safeguard their homes and businesses by creating a tax credit to write off the cost of doing the kind of mitigation that is particularly useful, up to about $5,000 a year, for example, for creating defensible space around their homes.
What other qualifying mitigation expenses can be included?
There's a huge variety because Bill Cassidy, who's my co-sponsor, is from Louisiana, so his concern is with flooding, not with fires. Other examples would include improving the durability of roof covering or fire resistance of roofs, purchasing and installing check valves to prevent flood water from backing up into drains, the purchase and installation of exterior walls or doors or windows that conform to ignition-resistant construction standards, performing the fire maintenance procedures that are identified by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, or the Forest Service, including fuel management techniques such as creating fuel and fire breaks. So it's a pretty broad range. It really leaves the decision-making at the local level.
And this is the first of its kind.
Yeah, we've never had a bill like this before. And the fact that Bill and I are from different parties and from very different regions of the country, it suggests that there's broad support. And I hope that we're going to pass it as part part of the next infrastructure bill.
I was going to ask you that, since it's being introduced in a bipartisan fashion, do you expect bipartisan support?
I certainly hope so. I don't see any reason why this bill should not have bipartisan support.
How does President Biden's American Jobs Plan dovetail with this bill?
That jobs plan is going to form the basis of the infrastructure package that the Congress ultimately passes. And President Biden actually included a reference to the Shelter Act in his proposal. So I think we're off to a very good start. And if we can get that bill passed, the Shelter Act likely will be part of it.
And folks who rent are also eligible for this tax credit?
They are. People who rent and who improve their property that they're living in can also receive the credit.
What kind of support are you receiving from the community?
A lot of people are doing fire mitigation anyway, and so they think having the benefit of the tax credit is an added plus and will inspire their friends and neighbors to do the work that they want to do. But it's also, I mean, we're supported nationally by the National Association of Home Builders, the National Association of Realtors, and even the Home Depot. So there's a pretty broad base of support.
You've introduced this before. Why do you think this has a better chance of passing this time?
It's been a long time since we've passed an infrastructure bill in the Congress, and I believe we will get one passed this summer and that this will be part of it as well. I also think that there's a renewed understanding of how dangerous these fires are to the West. People have watched Colorado have three worst fires that we've had in our state's history last year, and they understand that. I've also introduced the Outdoor Restoration Partnership Act, which would invest $60 billion in our national forests to protect our watersheds that are so critical to our farmers and ranchers and to our communities downstream from those watersheds. That also has been included in the Biden proposal. It also represents the idea that doing fire mitigation just makes sense from a public safety point of view. It makes sense from an economic point of view. And I hope very much that this will be included in the infrastructure package as well.
President Biden's job plan will invest about 1% of GDP per year over 8 years to upgrade our nation's infrastructure, revitalize manufacturing, invest in basic research and science, and shore up supply chains. The Shelter Act, co-authored by Senator Bennett and Senator Bill Cassidy, a Republican from Louisiana, is expected to be included in the jobs plan in some form to build resilience in communities prone to extreme weather events. In 2020 alone, Colorado's cost to fight fire topped $77 million. For KVNF and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, I'm Kate Redmond.
That does it for Friday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Special thanks to Kate Redmond. I'm Gavin Dahl.